concerning the person, the work of the Holy Spirit. We're going to continue that this morning. We're going to be in the fifth chapter of Ephesians this morning. Before we read the passage, let me quickly review where we've been. 2 weeks ago, we considered the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Jesus told His disciples in John 16, "It is expedient that I go away. It's good that I go away. If I go away, I will send you another Comforter who will be with you always. And when the Comforter comes, the Spirit, the Holy Spirit comes, He will reprove the world of three things: sin, of righteousness, and judgment." He says, "Of sin, because they believe not on Me. Of righteousness, because I go to My Father and you see Me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged." So we've talked about our great need personally, corporately, nationally, and globally of the work of the Holy Spirit to come and do what only He can come and do. I will preach and teach, you will witness and live, but the Spirit of God must come and change the heart. And He does come. And when He changes things, everything changes. Amen. Last week, we went a little farther. We looked at the leading of the Holy Spirit. We established two things. Number one, from Romans 8, if you don't have the Spirit of God, Romans 8, 9 says, you are none of His. So it stands to reason, if you have the Spirit of God, you are His. And every child of God has the Holy Spirit dwelling in them, without exception. But then we went to Romans 8, 14, where He says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. So we deduce from that, every Christian has the Holy Spirit, and every Christian is constantly being led by the Holy Spirit. 24/7, all the time, from the day of your conversion, the time of your conversion, you, Christian, have been led by the Holy Spirit. And I won't take time to go back and preach that whole message, but the message was, what does that mean? And I'll sum it up in this. You being led by the Holy Spirit is all about your sanctification. You being led in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That's what the Spirit is always doing. He's leading you, Christian, in paths of righteousness. We know what the problem is. We're not always walking in the Spirit. We're not always in tune with the Spirit. We're not always in step. But the Spirit's always leading. Always leading you. Today we're going to speak about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's another aspect of the person and the work of the Holy Spirit. Being filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's read our passage, Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 1. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. Can you see the aspect of Holy Spirit leading? Now here's the imperative for you. Follow Him. Be followers of God as dear children. Walk in love. There's the key. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication, all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. What a shame it'd be for a Christian to look like that, even for a time. He says, neither filthiness. Filthiness is obscene speech. Nor foolish talking, a little different. Foolish talking is just like a moron would talk. And he goes a little farther, nor jesting. Jesting is more vulgar joking. He says these things are not convenient. They're not appropriate. But rather, what comes out of your mouth ought to be thanksgiving. For this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words. See, the world's going to tell you, huh, that's okay. Don't worry about that. Everybody talks that way. Everybody does those things. No. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For you were sometimes darkness, but now are you light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. Christian, that's what you are. You're light. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. You see, when he's talking about walking as a child of light, he brings the Spirit right in there. The fruit of the Spirit. The only way you're going to walk as a child of light, which you are, Christian, is to be in step with the Spirit. As the Spirit bears fruit, you remember my illustration, dropping fruit out of the tree, you need to be right there with your basket, catching every bit of it. Staying in step with the Spirit, who is leading you all the way, all the time. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. If you want to grow as a Christian, continue to put yourself more and more in the light. You need to know what light is, and then you need to put yourself in the light, because see, light exposes darkness. It exposes darkness that you don't even know you have. I didn't even know that was there. And the more light you're under, it exposes it. And then if you're truly a child of God, you're going to deal with it. 14. Wherefore he saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. This is a strange verse because he is telling this to Christians. Are Christians dead? I thought we've been quickened together with Christ. We have. But there is an aspect in which Christians can go to sleep. And you might look like you're dead. And therefore he says, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, Christ shall give thee light. That's where your light is. See then that you walk circumspectly. Circumspectly is walking very diligently. Exactly as God has told us. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Craig, would you pray for God's help? Praise the Lord that we can know our Creator, the living God. We can know Him in a very intimate way. We can enjoy real internal fellowship with Him. We who were such poor and miserable and lowly fallen creatures, we, by the grace of God, are not only restored to full acceptance with God, but we're given the awesome privilege of being filled up on the inside with God Himself. As we speak of the Holy Spirit's ministry within us, it's essential for us to keep in mind the absolute equality that there is in the Trinity. When we speak of the Spirit, we're not speaking of some vague influence, but we're talking about God and all that God is. When we speak of what Jesus promised His disciples when He said the Holy Spirit would come. He said that in John 14 and 18. Jesus said, "I will come unto you." But He was talking about the Holy Spirit. And then in verse 23, Jesus again, speaking of Himself and His Father to the disciples, He says, "We will come and make our abode with you." So that's what we need to think of. When we think of the ministry of the Holy Spirit in the life of a Christian, we're talking about the Holy Trinity and all that the Trinity is. We're talking about God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the third person of the Trinity making their abode in us in the person of the Spirit. Every Christian, this might sound silly, but every Christian is a born-again Christian. There is no other kind. Every Christian has been born again, not of blood, not because you're raised in a Christian home, not of the will of the flesh, not because you wanted to be born again and you took the right steps, nor of the will of man because some preacher begged you down the aisle, but you're born of God. John 1:13. Born of God. God does it sovereignly. Jesus said to Nicodemus, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." He said again, "Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God." Jesus said, "That which is born of flesh is what? Flesh. And that which is born of Spirit is Spirit." You must be born again. And again, "If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. But as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God." So that's the framework that we're going to move forward, because today we're going to consider being filled with the Holy Spirit. Every Christian has the Spirit. Every Christian is always led by the Spirit, but every Christian is not always filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Our text here in Ephesians says that we are to be filled, in verse 18, with the Spirit. Again, which seems to imply that we might not always be filled. So as we consider this command to be filled with the Spirit, let's consider three things. First of all, what does this mean? Being filled with the Spirit. Secondly, how are we to obey this command? Because it is a command. "Be ye not drunk with wine where it is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." That is a command. And the third thing we're going to consider, what does it look like? What does a Spirit-filled Christian look like? What are the effects of being filled with the Spirit? So those are the three things. So let's look at the first thing first. What does this mean, being filled with the Spirit? I'm going to do like Gil. I'm going to tell you what it doesn't mean first, as best as I can understand. It does not mean, when we consider someone filled with the Spirit, it does not mean some dramatic emotional experience of suddenly being energized to some higher state of spirituality by a second work of God blessing you after your conversion. It does not mean that. Nor is it some temporary zap of God that results in some kind of babbling language and visions. It's not that. You see, 2 Timothy 1:7, "God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Sober mind, brother. Christian, that's what you have. You have the Holy Spirit. You have something that gives you sobriety of mind, puts you in your right mind. That's one extreme when people think about being filled with the Spirit. Here's the other extreme. This is what it's not. Being filled with the Spirit is not simply stoically doing your duty to God, doing what you know God wants you to do. Obviously, it's blessed by the Spirit, but you're just doing your duty basically in your own power. That's not being filled with the Spirit either. Those are what I would say are the two extremes that is not. And again, I need to say this. This being filled with the Spirit is not the same thing as the indwelling of the Spirit. Because every believer is indwelt by the Spirit of God. Every believer is led by the Spirit of God. But the filling is not the same thing. We know the Bible says, do you not know, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 3:16, that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? You know that, don't you, Christian? You should know it because the Scriptures tell you. So we must set the context in order to see what it means. And in order to set the context, we're going to see some contrast in this passage. In our passage in Ephesians here, the first contrast we see, if you look at verse 8, is between darkness and light. For you were sometimes darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And then we see in verses 9 and 10 that this walking as children of light is a manifestation of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it is how we prove what is acceptable to the Lord. The next contrast we see down in verse 15, 16, and 17, we see two ways of walking in this world. We see that some walk as wise and some walk as unwise. Some walk as wise, some walk as fools. In particular, the foolish man does not recognize, verse 16, that the days are evil. Do you recognize that? We live in an evil day. The foolish man also does not know what the will of the Lord is. Verse 17. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. As an indication of this foolishness, Paul speaks of drunkenness in our text. Be ye not drunk with wine. This is a characteristic of an unwise person, a foolish person. And I'll speak more about that a little bit later. So this contrast between wise and unwise, or wise and foolish, it is the key to unlock our understanding of what it means to be filled with the Spirit. And I intend to prove that with a number of scriptures. In the Old Testament, we know that wisdom and the fear of the Lord go hand in hand. The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. So these two things go hand in hand all throughout the Scriptures. Here in our passage, the same thought applies between wisdom and foolish, but in particular, there is a connection in our passage between the Spirit and wisdom. Being full of the Spirit and wisdom, we can see this connection. The way of the Spirit is the way of wisdom. Turn a couple pages back to the first chapter of Ephesians, verse 17. Here Paul is praying in verse 17 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Do you remember what was said about Joshua in Deuteronomy 34:9? I'm sure you all just remember that, right? Well, I'm going to tell you what it says of Joshua. Deuteronomy 34:9, Joshua, the son of Nun, was full of the Spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him, and the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. When we think about the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, here's the prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ in Isaiah 11:2. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon Him. Listen, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding. The Spirit of counsel and might. The Spirit of knowledge. And the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. I'm telling you all these things for us to begin to get the key. What is it to be full of the Spirit? Wisdom. A spirit of wisdom. Let's take some other examples. Acts chapter 6. You can turn if you like, or you can just listen. Kevin preached on this a few months ago, I think, where the first, it's not called deacons, but the first servants in the church were called. The Greek widows were not being ministered to in the assembly. And so the apostles called together the assembly and said, choose out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. This is no coincidence. We see this in Scripture over and over again. When you see the filling or the fullness of the Holy Spirit, you see this aspect of wisdom right alongside with it. These were the men that were to be chosen, those who were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. We know they did choose out seven. One of those seven was Stephen. In verse 10 of Acts chapter 6, speaking of Stephen, it says, and they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake. So it's pretty obvious, isn't it? Now, brethren, as Christians, I'll tell you what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2:12-13. Just listen. You Christians, listen. We have not received the spirit of the world, but we have received the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. There it is again, wisdom and the Spirit of God together. So it's very clear, the way of the Spirit in the life of a believer is the way of wisdom. God's children, who are His beloved family, have been formed by Him to live in the fullness of the Spirit of God and thus live in the light of God's wisdom. Again, verse 17 of Ephesians 5 in our text, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. How many people seek their own will, and by doing so they profess themselves to be wise, as Romans 1 says, but in fact they become fools. Becoming vain in their imagination, their foolish heart is darkened. God's purpose is to fill His children. Now we're going to talk about the chief end. We're going to talk about why God made you. But just in that perspective, let's think about what God's purpose is. Let's survey again. Ephesians 1:23. We're talking about God's purpose for His people. It is to fill them. And here in verse 23, He's talked about the church. If you look verse 22, the end of the verse, the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. God's purpose is to fill you with Himself. He would that you, Christian, be full of His Spirit, full of Himself. Look at chapter 3, verse 19. That we would know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Chapter 4, verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Can you see God's goal in the church, in you individually and corporately particularly? Fullness of Himself. Why would He want us to be full of Him? Why does He want the church to be full of Him? Look back at chapter 3, verse 10. Chapter 3, verse 10. To the intent that now, unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places, might be known by the church. Wow, the manifold wisdom of God. This whole thing of the Spirit filling His people, and wisdom filling His people. Why? So the world might see how wise our God is. Now look at chapter 1. I know we're skipping around. I'm sorry, chapter 1 of Timothy, 1 Timothy, where John just read last week. And verse 17. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. This is God's purpose, to magnify His wisdom to all. And He's going to do it by filling you with His Spirit. So that sets the context. Now let's go to the text. The text is verse 18 of Ephesians 5. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. This is not a suggestion for us as Christians. This is a command of God. Be filled with the Spirit. We've been created by God to be filled by God. We've been created by God to be full of God. It is not unnatural for a Christian to be filled with the Spirit. It is unnatural for a Christian not to be filled with the Spirit. I know we don't think that way, but that's the truth. The fullness of the Spirit is to be the normative state of the believer. In man's rebellion against God, man still seeks to be filled. So what does he do? He seeks to be filled with himself, or to fill himself with things that come from the flesh or by the flesh. And Paul speaks of this kind of filling. Just listen here. I think it's Romans 1 again. Paul speaks of this kind of filling that a lost man does. Verse 29, Romans 1. Being filled with all unrighteousness. And he on and on and on and on. That's what lost men seek to do. They've got to be full of something. So they seek to fill themselves with these other things. And brethren, all of our sin from one perspective, or from one point of view, is the desire or the attempt to find fulfillment or filling or fullness in something other than God. That's sin. But brethren, God has made us to be full of Him. And we cannot be filled with anything outside of Him and be full. You see, all of us, we're full of holes. And if you take a vessel that's full of holes and you start to pour the water of the world, the wickedness of the world, the lust of the flesh, you pour any of these things in there, it's like air. Or it's like water going into a vessel that's full of holes. It just dissipates. It's gone. But you pour God in there, you fill it with the Spirit, there's something about the Spirit that seals us. You even know the Scripture says you have been sealed by the Holy Spirit. When God begins to fill us, when the Spirit begins to fill us, it seals those holes. And we begin to fill up, be full of God. And we find fulfillment. We find joy. We find a fullness of life that we didn't know before. How about satisfaction? I can tell you about a part of my life that I sought satisfaction in things other than God. And the more that you put in there, the emptier I felt. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You think it's going to help, but it just makes it worse. Because the little bit you thought satisfied you today, it takes a little bit more, and even the more tomorrow is less satisfying than yesterday. But brethren, it's not that way with the Spirit of God. It's not that way with God Himself. What is our chief end? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Let me put it this way. Your chief end, God made you to magnify His wisdom and to be satisfied in Him. And you're not going to be ultimately satisfied in anything other than God. the righteousness of God Himself. Here in our text, in verse 18, the matter of drunkenness is specifically mentioned, which ties in with many other references to drunkenness in the New Testament, and I'm not going to take the time. I will reference them if you want to write them down quickly. Romans 13:13, Galatians 5:21, 1 Thessalonians 5:4-9, 1 Peter 4:3. Those are some good New Testament texts on drunkenness, all of which echo many other Old Testament passages, such as a lot of Proverbs, Proverbs 20 and 1, Proverbs 23 and 20, Proverbs 23, 29 through 35. And I won't read those. You can read them for yourself. Drunkenness, or any addiction, we can put it that way, it's an attempt to be filled. It's an attempt to be satisfied. It's an attempt to be fulfilled in something other than God. The parallel between being filled with wine and being filled with the Spirit lies in the matter of influence. We even talk that way, don't we? Being under the influence of alcohol. We have laws. You know what a DUI is? Driving under the influence of some mind-altering substance. It means we're not in control of ourselves. We're under another influence. You know, everybody puts themselves under an influence. Whether it's the intoxicating, mind-numbing effects of alcohol, drugs, the things of this world, self, everybody puts themselves under some sort of influence. But we, as the people of God, we are to be under the influence of the Spirit. We're to be filled with the Spirit. You see, that's why Paul brings these two things together. Don't be drunk with wine. Don't put yourself under that influence, but be filled with the Spirit. Put yourself under that influence, that thing that will control you. So to be filled with the Spirit is to recognize that we live, Christian, you always live, under the leadership, the guidance, and the influence, and the power of another. That's being filled with the Spirit. You're not your own, Christian. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, do what? Glorify God in your body. You're under the influence of another. Walk in that influence. Walk in that. Indeed, this is reflected in the grammar that Paul uses in this passage. Be filled is an imperative. It's something you must do. It's in the present tense. It's literally be being kept full. Be ever in that state of being full of the Spirit. It's ongoing and it's imperative. I like what John Owen says about this. He says, quote, the passive voice, it is in the passive voice, that underscores that it is the Spirit that does the filling. But the imperative mood of the expression, or the fact that it comes to us as a command, underscores that this filling is dependent upon your cooperation. He also says that the present tense of the verb underscores that this is to be our present ongoing condition. It's to always be so. So this command, be filled with the Spirit, indicates a continuous, conscious, ongoing cooperation from you, Christian. It's spoken of throughout the book of Ephesians, but just said in a different way. And let's survey that real quickly. Some of these we've already read, but let's look at it again. In chapter 1, verse 17, when Paul prays there in verse 17 for the Ephesians to have a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, he's simply praying that they would be Spirit-filled, full of the Spirit. in verse 18 when he prays that the eyes of their understanding may be enlightened. He's praying that they be Spirit-filled. In chapter 3, in verse 14 through 21, when he prays there that they be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man, he's praying that they be Spirit-filled. All the exhortations in the book of Ephesians are a call to being Spirit-filled, because no command, no exhortation can be carried out in the manner that pleases God except it be by His Spirit, in the right Spirit. This verb, be filled, is very interesting and it's very instructive if we look at it in the Greek. And so I'm going to take 1 second to do that, not to teach Greek because I don't know Greek, but I can read. The Greek word is pleroo. And many times it's used in the New Testament in this way. Like if you can imagine a sail on a sailboat, the wind that fills that sail so it carries it along to its destination. That's this Greek word, be filled. So to be filled with the Spirit is to be moved along by the Spirit in your life as a Christian, to make progress, to advance. This word, pleroo, also carries the idea of permeation. It is used of, like salt, permeating meat in order to flavor it and really in order to preserve it. Be filled, permeate. That the Holy Spirit would so permeate our lives that we would have some flavor in this world. A Christian ought not to be just a dull person. There ought to be something about you. How about a savor of life unto life? If the gospel has come in reality to your soul, there ought to be some flavor about you, some passion about you, that's exemplified in love and care and compassion for other people and for God. Thanksgiving. This is the permeating influence of being filled with the Spirit. This Greek word also has the connotation of even total control. People are said to be full of wine when they are completely under its influence. We might say out of control, but they're completely under the influence. They're under the control of the wine. And in the same way, people are said to be filled with the Spirit when He is completely controlling our thoughts, our feelings, our words, our actions. We're under His influence completely, full of the Spirit. So my first point is, what is it to be filled with the Spirit? Well, it's simply this, brethren. It is to be willingly under His influence, in a way of being moved along, in a way of being permeated completely in your life, and in a way of being controlled. That's literally what it means to be full of the Spirit. Well, that leads us to the second point. How are we to obey this command? If He says, be filled with the Spirit, how do I do that? What do I do? Well, there are 5 things here. And we're going to look at a parallel passage. First, looking at Ephesians 5, He says, be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do we remember there's another one of Paul's epistles that almost sounds just like that? If you have one of your supplements, look on the front of your supplement and you'll know which verse it is. It's Colossians 3:16. So just flip over a few pages. And this is a parallel. It helps us. Colossians 3:16 and 17. There he says, he doesn't say be full of the Spirit. Here he says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all what? Wisdom. It's almost like, Paul, you're on the same wavelength here. Over here we're talking about be full of Spirit. Over here we're talking about the Word of God dwelling in us richly in all wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. A very close parallel to what he said in Ephesians 5. So if you desire to be full of the Spirit, if you desire to be filled with the Spirit, the Word of God must dwell in you richly in all wisdom. You see, the Holy Spirit is the author of these words. 2 Corinthians 3:16, all Scripture is given by what? Inspiration of God. And I think we could go a little deeper into the Greek. The Greek is literally God breathed. So we could say all Scripture is given by expiration of God. God breathed it out. These are His words. So the words of the Holy Spirit need to dwell in you richly in all wisdom for you to be filled with the Spirit. So that's the first thing, how we are to obey this command. The second thing, and this is very important, if you're going to fill something with a new substance, if there's something in it that's not that substance, what do you got to do first? You're not just going to add something new to something that's already in there. Then it's not full of what's new. You have to empty it. It has to be emptied. So this is the key to being filled with the Spirit. You have to be empty. You have to empty yourself of self. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. If you're full of the world, if you're full of lust, if you're full of self, which we all tend to that sometimes, if you're full of that, you have to empty yourself of that. You have to be thirsty. It's really a shame how seldom we really, as the deer panting after the water brooks, how seldom we are really thirsting after God. I thought of this week. What if someone came to us at the end of the day and said, could you have done everything you did today and got through your day without God? Now, we would probably say, no, there's no way. But how often, brethren, do we go through our day as practical atheists? I just did what I did. I got it done. Had no thoughts of God. Spent no time in His Word and no time in prayer. And I made it through the day. Brethren, we need to empty ourselves of self if we would be filled with the Spirit. Listen to the words of Jesus in John 7, in verse 37. Jesus said, in the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. And he that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Now, I know it's not, doesn't use the words filled with the Spirit, but that's exactly what he's talking about. A thirsting, a coming to Christ, believing on Christ, faith in Christ, and then out of your belly. We're not talking about your stomach. We're talking about the deepest inward part of your being. Out of that is going to flow rivers of living water. And the only way I know it's going to flow is you've got to be filled. We have to have faith. We have to believe. We have to continually come to Christ. We have to present our vessels for filling. We even sing it, nothing in my hands I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. The third thing we can see, if you desire to be filled with the Spirit, you must ask. You must ask. Jesus said in Luke 11 and verse 9, ask and it shall be given you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth. And he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh it shall be opened. If a son ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more? How much more, brethren, shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? You want to be full of the Spirit? You want to be full of wisdom, which is being full of the Spirit? The Word of God dwelling in you richly in all wisdom? How about James 1? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And He'll give it to you. But you better ask in faith. You better ask believing that He will do what He said. So we have to pray. The fourth thing here, if you desire to be filled with the Spirit, you must obey the Word of God. Don't think you're going to be full of the Spirit, full of wisdom, if you don't even obey what you know. Acts 5:32. Here Peter says, and we are His witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey Him. That's pretty plain, isn't it? God will not fill a disobedient child with His Spirit. If you would be a Spirit-filled Christian, you need to be an obedient Christian. Just obey what you know to obey and seek to find out all the will of God that you might be obedient. The fifth thing here, when we sin, we in measure empty ourselves of the wisdom, the guidance, the permeation, the control of the Holy Spirit over our lives. If you're still there in Ephesians, turn back to chapter 4, verse 26. Paul says, be ye angry and sin not. Verse 26 of chapter 4. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Do you see, when we do these things, when we fall into sin, when our mouth, we're speaking like a fool, we're not careful with what we say and do and think, we grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And then 1 Thessalonians 5:19, Paul says there, quench not the Spirit. We do the same thing when we sin against God and we're disobedient. We quench the Spirit's influence over us. David fully understood this. David was a man after God's own heart. I know, in a sense, he wasn't what we would call a Christian because he was on the other side of Calvary, but he was a believer. He was a true man of God. But David sinned terribly. You ever wonder, how did this whole thing begin? Well, we know he looked on Bathsheba. Brethren, let me caution you. When your life becomes prayerless, I'll tell you what's going to follow. Sin is going to follow. You cannot really maintain a life of prayer and practice a life of sin. It's impossible. If you will stay before the Lord, if you're praying, you're going to be wanting to read. If you're praying, you're going to be wanting to worship. If you're praying, you're going to be wanting to fellowship. You're going to be wanting to be taught. You're going to hunger and thirst after righteousness. Please don't stop praying. I know what a labor it is. Pray. He said, ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened. But I wonder if that wasn't David's problem. He lapsed in his prayer life. And he sinned terribly against Bathsheba, her family. He had her husband Uriah killed. He was no longer filled with the Spirit. But you know what he prayed in Psalm 51, verse 10? He says, create in me a clean heart, O God. And what? Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. And take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. And uphold me with thy free spirit. Brother, we are commanded to be filled with the Spirit. And we are to obey that command. The last point I want to make, what does it look like? What does a Spirit-filled Christian look like? What effects does this filling have upon us? Go back to our text, our passage in Ephesians 5. Be not drunk with wine, verse 18, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now here's what it looks like. Here's Paul's summary of what that looks like. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. From this imperative, be filled with the Spirit, flow four dependent participles. Speaking, singing, making melody, giving thanks. When I said singing and making melody, I was counting that as one. Speaking, singing and making melody, two. Giving thanks, number three. And being in submission or being subject to one another, the fourth. And again, this is a parallel passage with Colossians 3:16 where he says basically the same thing. These are the signs of the Spirit's fullness among His people. Those who are filled with the Spirit will be living out acts of devotion, not just acts of duty. You're living out acts of devotion unto God and the proper expressions of that devotion. So he says, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Brethren, this filling of the Spirit, it brings joy and it brings worship. So it's pretty easy. Okay, I'm going to sit here and think, am I filled with the Spirit today? Are you full of joy? Do you want to worship God in spirit and truth? Those are pretty good evidences of the Spirit's filling. He says, giving thanks always for all things. This filling of the Spirit gives a thankful heart. How's your heart? Thankful heart. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God concerning you in Christ Jesus. That's what being filled with the Spirit looks like. A thankful heart. And then the third thing here, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. This filling of the Spirit gives us a submissive spirit. Being submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. That is not easy, to submit ourselves one to another. And Paul knows it's not easy, and that's why he puts this at the end, in the fear of God. Well, I don't want to submit myself to them. Do you know what they're like? You know what they've done? Submit yourselves one to another in the fear of God, under the sovereignty of God. That's what a Spirit-filled Christian looks like. A Spirit-filled Christian is not a proud Christian who desires a preeminence. He's not the one that always has to be heard and always has to have the last word. He's the one who knows more, knows a lot more, and yet will sit and be quiet before the one who does not know much. He's the one who deserves to have the attention, deserves to have the authority, and yet he will sit and let the other who doesn't deserve call the shot. It's a meekness that we have to learn from the Lord Jesus. Notice that this filling of the Holy Spirit is not primarily for us personally, but that we might minister to others. First, singing, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. So here we are, we're trying to minister to others, and we're ministering to the Lord in speaking and singing. So it's other-oriented, being full of the Spirit. Other person-related. That shows the Spirit's ministry to bring us together to the Lord as His church. Loving God and loving neighbor. Always outward oriented. Full of Spirit. And again, let us remember that the Spirit's chief end is to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus said, "Of the Spirit He shall glorify Me." John 16:14. "He shall receive of Mine and shall show it unto you." The Spirit is always conforming God's people to the image of Christ. He is always working to make you and I look more like Christ in our character and in our conduct. So, let me summarize. We know the leading of the Spirit, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The leading of the Spirit, that's God's side of your sanctification. That's what we might call preservation. But this thing we talked about today, the filling, be filled with the Spirit of God, that is our side. That's your side of your sanctification. That's what we might call perseverance. So we have both sides of this thing. We have the Spirit of God always leading us, and we have the imperative to you and I to be full of the Spirit. We have God always preserving us, and He is going to finish what He started, but we have the imperatives to us to be full of the Spirit and press our way, work our salvation out with fear and trembling, all the way to the end. In conclusion, brethren, we are to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And when we're not, we are in sin. When we are, we are walking by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. We're walking in wisdom. We're walking in understanding, in obedience. We are studying to show ourselves approved unto God. The Word of God is dwelling in us richly in all wisdom. All the while we are praying and thirsting for a greater measure of the Spirit of God in us. More filling. This is to be a continual process where we more and more surrender all of our lives unto the Lord, moment by moment. And when that occurs, brethren, spiritual fruit will be manifested in our life. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Against such there is no law. And Paul says, those that are Christ, they have crucified the flesh with the affections and the lust. And he says, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. He could have just as easily said, if we have been made alive by the Spirit, then let us also be filled with the Spirit. In order to be filled with the Spirit, you must have the Holy Spirit. To those of you here who are still in your sins, you have not surrendered your life to Christ. You do not believe, really, in a way that has changed your life. You have neither part nor lot in this matter. You do not have the Holy Spirit. You are not being led by the Holy Spirit, and you sure can't be filled with the Holy Spirit. You will not have this man to reign over you. Your life is being governed by your own lust and your own desires. But I'm here to tell you, your greatest need today is that the Holy Spirit would come and do a mighty work in your soul and renew you to life in Jesus Christ while there is still time. And I pray that God, by His Spirit, would arrest you today. Point you to Christ alone. Point you outside of yourself to a person of hope, a person of life, a person of joy. I'll close with this. Words of Isaiah 41 and 17. When the poor and the needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. How's He going to do that? He's going to do that by His Spirit. May the Lord God Himself make us all thirsty. And then may the Lord God Himself open up to us fountains of living waters. I want to be full of the Spirit because I want to fulfill why God made me. Because I want to glorify God. And I want to enjoy Him. Are you enjoying God? Are you fulfilling the purpose that God made you for? You only are if you're full of the Spirit, because He made you to be full of Him. How could that happen? I'll tell you how it happened. The Holy Son of God, the eternal Son of God. When we talk about fullness, let's talk about emptiness. He came and He emptied Himself. Because of love, that you and I might be full of Him. Isn't that an amazing paradox? He had to be emptied. And yes, you have to be emptied, but He emptied Himself in order to fill you with Himself. God made you for that. I plead with you, wherever you are, do not live one more day not fulfilling the purpose that God made you for. If you have not bowed your knee to the Lord Jesus Christ and you have not seen that He emptied Himself for sinners just like you, do it today. Repent of your selfishness, of your apathy, and cling to Christ. And then be full of the Spirit. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you undertook the cause of sinners. Thank you that in your perfect purpose and plan, Father, you chose to save sinners, just like me, just like all of us here. And Lord, in time, you did in fact send your Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem poor, wretched sinners. And Lord, that he kept every jot and every tittle of the law perfectly. He demonstrated perfect love to you and perfect love to his neighbor. He was wholly harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And he obeyed you all the way to the cross and even laid down his life as an atoning sacrifice that completely satisfied your wrath. And Father, thank you that you send your Holy Spirit, not just to woo a sinner, but Lord, to take away a stony heart and to give a heart of flesh, to open our eyes, to unstop our ears, to give us life, that we might begin to walk, we might begin to follow, we might begin to obey, we might begin to fulfill our purpose, to know you, to walk in wisdom, to walk in love, to be full of you, to bring you honor and glory, and Lord, to enjoy you. Lord, thank you for the ministry of the Spirit. Help us, Lord, to be thirsty. Cause us to be thirsty. Cause us to seek you. Lord, whatever is hindering us, Lord, grant us grace to put it away, to put it off, and to put you on. Lord, would you do what only you can do? By your Spirit, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.